to the book of Revelation, the ninth division. I'd like to speak with emphasis on the subject of hell on earth, having to do with those days when God gives before the eternal scene forever sets in a vivid and literal illustration, demonstration, and sample of what it will be like in hell. It is a sequel to what we have been dealing with. We have studied the judgment of the solar system and the aspect of space travel and Bible prophecy. We have dealt with the opening of the six seals, dealt with nuclear fire, thermonuclear warfare, and the phenomena that the Bible prophesies will soon come. Tomorrow night, the Lord willing, I'm planning to speak on a very important subject. Will the saints go through the great tribulation and the day of wrath? There's a lot of controversy about it, and in case you think they will, and you don't want to hear any other opinion, I suggest you stay home if you have a closed mind on the subject. But if you are still clinging to the glorious hope of the church and you need some text supporting proofs, well, then bring a paper and pencil, because I am imminent returnist, glorious hopist, and escapist. So, be here tomorrow night. Or be here whatever you believe. Well, let's see. No, that's Sunday night, isn't it? Some of the churches are having churches, so be here if you have a mind to and you have pastoral permission or whatever. I better correct that. I see Brother Buck back there looking narrow at me. Not really. But anyway, some of you do have duty. One brother said, I have obligations in my home church, and he's going to be there. I appreciate that, don't you? And so I'm sure we'll have a full tent here tomorrow night. This is a Bible camp. In case you thought it was something else, we go into the scriptures now. Verse 1 of the ninth division, hell on earth. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, in this case, the star happened to be angelic. Believe the Bible. Take it literally. God is not playing word games with you. This is not some gymnastics or semantics. And when the Bible talks about blood, think blood. If it says fire, think fire. And you'll find that this book is easily understood. However, the thought concepts are very big. Now, when he speaks here of the key to the bottomless pit, there is no question about what he's talking of. For the bottomless pit is dealt with other places in the Bible. One man said to me, isn't the Bible filled with meaningless redundancies? Some people have such a way with words. It talks about a bottomless pit, and then it talks about a lake of fire. How could it be both? I answered his question. And the way you answer a question to a teenager often depends on how they ask the question and what the teenage mood is at the time. Some years ago in this district, when I was preaching a revival, a young man, a senior in high school, infidel and blasphemous in spirit, sat in the service and was angered. At the end of the service, he met me in the aisle. And he said with a sneer, well, preacher, if you're so smart, and if you know so much, tell me where hell is. I said, no, I don't think you need to inquire. Directions. You're on course. Just go straight ahead the way you're going, and when you die, don't turn to the right or the left. One step, you're in hell. You see, the Bible makes it clear that you're just one step from eternity. One verse says you're one step from death. And each of you here tonight are just one heartbeat from heaven or hell. And that's a good question. Which way are you headed? And he didn't like my answer, I guess. Why, he was a snorch, jumped out of the church, and he went down to the taverns. And he hawed and said, hey, guess what? There's a hellfire preacher in town. And he told me I was on course. And I was doing nicely. I didn't need directions. And the next day at school, he blasphemed up and down the hallways and through the locker rooms and told everyone that there was a hellfire preacher in town. That was nice of him. By the next night, the church was packed with young people that wanted to see the oddity of a hellfire preacher. And we didn't have to pay for the advertising. And we had young people at the altar. And from that group, one young man that came to hear a hellfire preacher has graduated from Northwest and is now in the ministry. You see, it does make a difference how sincere you are when you ask the question. Another asked the question, where is hell? Martin Luther and John Wesley and the older theologian documented that so nicely a long time ago. Hell is in the center of the earth. Deuteronomy 32, speaking of the fire of the last days that will burn through the crust of the earth, talks about a fire kindled burning through the crust, burning into hell. One place that we covered earlier in the revival talks of Jesus after his death on the cross. He descended, one place it says, in the belly of the earth, and another place, he descended into hell. The scientists do tell us that hell is in the center of the earth by their language. We know that the center of the earth is molten fire. Just before this man asked me honestly where hell was, and if that wasn't meaningless redundancy, a lake of fire and a bottomless pit, he said if it was a bottomless pit, it seemed that the fire would fall out the bottom. I had just the week before been reading a scientific article about the mole hole. And young people, ask God to guide you in your reading. Don't read filth and trash. But of all the many, many good books in the world, program your mind for divine guidance. And day by day as I approach my study, I pray and say, Lord, prepare me for next week. Prepare me for the answers I need next week. You know, since you're omniscient, to whom I will speak, and I do not. And it was just not long ago that I was sitting in my study, and out of my many, many books, I took off a book and began to read him in the middle, and I thought, how interesting. I got engrossed, and I thought, well, I've never read this before. That is a good answer. And the next week, a college student came to me and said, could you answer this question? I've asked several people, and I can't get an answer, and I'm troubled about this. And he asked the question, my friend, Lord, help me. And he asked the question. I said, I'll give you the answer. I quoted it off. He looked at me very complimentary and said, just how much do you really know? That's exactly what I need. I said, well, don't give the credit to me. Last week I didn't know this. But this is a word of knowledge for you by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, teenager. Every once in a while when your pastor gets up to preach, it's Merry Christmas to you from Jesus. This happens in every pastor's study. And that was the truth. That was the guidance of the Holy Ghost, you see. And it's nice to pray that you might be ready to give an answer to every man by the hope that lies within you. That is so important in youth work. And I believe in being honest with young people. I'm embarrassed when I don't have the answer, but I'm honest about it, and many times I have to say I don't know. But if this is essential, I'll do any amount of research trying to find the answer. Be sure you don't go to hell, because you don't have the answers when the answers are available. So again, you see, this was not of my work, but this was the planning of the Holy Ghost. This man was not a Christian, and it was only a short time after that this man of whom I spoke died and went into eternity. And by again the programming of God, I stood by his bed and held his hand and prayed, not knowing that while I was holding his hand, he would breathe his last and go out into eternity. And as I stood by his bedside, I had the confidence that it was right with his soul and he was ready to meet God. Nothing could be more important than that. So some months before, when he asked this honest question, and I had just read about the mole hole, the man writing the scientist said, if we could drill a hole through the earth and then case it like a well shaft, and if we drill from one outer periphery of the earth to the other and drop the man in that hole, he would start to fall, wouldn't that be a ride? And as then he hit the surface or the center of the earth and passed through center, he would no longer be falling, he would be rising. Well, he would pass through the center of the centrifugal pull, and now he would be rising, and he would lose his momentum as he approached the other periphery, when he would stop and then start to fall again. And he would go down, until suddenly he was going up and down, until he lost his momentum and was frozen forever in a bottomless pit in which he could not fall because every place would be up. That was the best commentary I ever heard on the bottomless pit. And that's the very word he used, and it had nothing to do with God or the Bible. And then you see the same scientist let us know, as any miner will tell you, that the further you go down into a mine, the warmer it gets, and if you get so close, the heat from beneath comes up. At first, as you get further from the sun, the dirt shield, you said, gets cool, but as you go deeper, it gets warm. Yes, this earth is molten fire and a bottomless pit. And it is of this bottomless pit that the key is opened by an angel. And at this point, we come to a turning place in this book of Revelations. And those miracles of destruction that man can do, of which we have spoken to such extent, they are past and we come into an aspect of this book that man cannot duplicate. It is very similar to those miracles wrought by Moses when he threw down his rod and the magician duplicated them. But finally it came to a miracle, a creative miracle, and they stood by dumbfounded and could not duplicate it, and they said, this is the finger of God. And so it comes in the madness of a human race that is bent on scientific suicide on a global scale, that man can bring the fire from the sky and bring the hail, and as we studied last night, man can turn the ocean to blood. But now they're come to a place where the nuclear scientists cannot do these plagues. While they cannot create life, and they cannot create angels and demons. But now an angel flies down, and he has a key. The keys of death and hell are in the hands of the Lord, and not in the hands of Satan. No man goes to hell unless the sovereign Christ opens the door with the key and he is cast in. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, this is called often the unlocking of the abyss